Last week we began a series of sermons on the kingdom of God, looking at that big theme that stretches throughout the Bible, maybe the theme that helps to inform us of God's purposes and his plans. We talked about how God's kingdom encompasses everything. It teaches us of God's sovereignty, his call and vocation on our lives. It reflects his purpose for us. It reflects that we're in a conflict, and it reflects the totality of the call of God to us, that it's not just that he calls part of us or that there's some religious service involved, but that he wants all of our lives. And today, I'm going to continue in that theme, but with a bit of a special direction. And the subject is one in which I'm an expert, as I'm sure that you'll agree by the time that I'm done. And of course, I'm talking about motherhood and womanhood, since today is Mother's Day. Now, I don't have any direct experience with being a mother or a woman, but I've been around them my whole life. I even lived in my mother for a while, and so I think those are pretty good credentials. So I'm going to talk to you about what it looks like to be a kingdom woman today. Now, of course, I'm teasing about those credentials a bit, and it's funny, but there's always some danger when a man presumes to speak to women about motherhood and womanhood, especially in today's political culture where everything has to be politically correct. So I want to give a little disclaimer up front. First, I don't think I'm an expert. And second, I'm talking to women and mothers today, not to men. And so I'm going to be focusing there. I'm not going to be trying to balance everything that I say with what's wrong with men or what's right with men. It's just a focus on women and mothers today. So please understand that. I don't by any means suggest with anything that I say today that it's only women for this or only women for that, but that's the focus of Mother's Day. And I want to talk to you about the difference between what it looks like to be a woman who's influenced by culture, a cultural woman, and what it looks like to be a woman who's part of the kingdom of God, a kingdom woman. Because we need strong women in the kingdom of God, don't we? In fact, to be a woman in the kingdom of God is to be a strong woman, is to influence and to lead. And I want to talk to you about what that looks like today. All of this is going to be grounded in the way that God has created us, because he's made us male and female, and he has a purpose for that. And our culture seems to be confused. We seem to, on the one hand, continue to use women for their sex appeal and to make them objects to be looked at rather than people who are made in God's image. And on the other hand, we find a push toward this kind of androgyny, or an idea that there are no real differences between men and women and that gender is just a social construct. But the problem with that is that it doesn't hold up in the face of science, and it doesn't fit the story of the Bible. And for most of us, we'll recognize it doesn't fit what we experience on a day-to-day basis either. And I think there is such a thing as masculinity and femininity in the kingdom of God. And how that gets expressed may be different at different points in history and in different cultures. But the fact that gender isn't expressed in a monolithic way throughout history does not mean that it is just a social construct. I think there's more to it than that. So let's see how the scriptures might help us to form a good idea of how femininity gets expressed in the kingdom of God, as opposed to some of the twisted cultural forms. And in all of this, I hope that you mothers and women might find that you can express strong femininity in the kingdom of God. Strong both in the sense that it's different than masculinity, and that this difference does not make it weakness. So, on one of the most prevalent lies that our culture teaches concerning femininity is its evaluation of women based on their sex appeal. The most common imagery for women in our culture involves sensuality and flirtation. And even women who are supposed to be symbolic of feminine strength and independence are often simultaneously sex symbols. Take Wonder Woman, for instance. Here is supposed to be a woman who is a show of feminine independence and strength, and yet her creator wanted her drawn with as little clothing as possible for the 1940s standards so that he could sell more comic books to men. There seems to be a conflict of interest there with the symbols that we use for feminine strength and independence. And the problem hasn't gotten better since the 1940s. Culturally, we seem to want to have our cake and eat it too, don't we? We want to tell young women that they are free, but we still use female sexuality to sell movie tickets and lingerie and lawnmowers and everything else. We tell women that they are powerful apart from men, and yet the primary images that get used in our culture to communicate that power are sexual and designed for the pleasure and attention of men. We say one thing, But our art and our music and our social media say something very different. They say that a woman needs to attract attention, particularly the attention of a man. But a kingdom woman has a different goal in mind. A kingdom woman looks different. Consider 1 Timothy 2:9 to 10. It says this: "Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works." So first, Paul, writing to the young pastor Timothy, says that women should wear respectable or appropriate apparel that demonstrates modesty and self-control. Now, this has been a hot-button issue in some churches and has led to legalism in some instances. And in many cases, it has been turned into an issue about the depth of a neckline and the length of the hemline, when in fact, if we look at the context of what Paul says, in his context, he's not really talking about sexual provocation at all. In fact, what he's talking about is ostentation. He warns women, don't come to church and don't go out in public with braided hair and with gold and jewelry that's designed to make it look like you're above other people. He's saying, don't buy into the social hierarchy. That's essentially what Paul is saying to women. He's not contrasting modesty with provocation. Modesty is not the antithesis of provocation. Modesty is the antithesis of ostentation. Modesty is a synonym for humility, which is something that Jesus enjoins on all of us, doesn't he? But because modesty is a bit of a touchy subject with some, it can help us to take a step back and to look at the broader context of what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking to a group of people that were seeking attention through the extravagance of their apparel. And of course, provocative dress fits in that idea of attracting attention and elevating yourself over others through outward appearance. But let's frame it first as an attitude of heart and a character attitude, a character issue. You see, much of the way that feminine sex appeal is used in our culture is designed to do something similar. It's designed as a search for attention. It's a plea to feel significant, special, and loved. It's a way to assert your importance. That may be through a sexy new dress or a sexy new car or that sexy post on Instagram. And what Paul is warning against isn't a particular hairstyle or cut of dress. He's warning about making your life about garnering the attention of other people and trying to find significance through social hierarchy. And women can still fall prey to those lies that they find significance through what people think about their bodies or their possessions or how expensive their shoes or their handbag is or how big the rock on their finger is. But in contrast, kingdom women practice modesty. Modesty isn't just about hemline, but about attitude. It's more of a synonym of humility than it is an antonym of provocative dress. Modesty means that you aren't trying to prove your worth based on what you wear or where you fit in the social hierarchy. You aren't trying to show off. You may have it, you don't have to flaunt it. And kingdom women aren't finding meaning through comparison or asserting their place in that kind of social order. Instead of clothing themselves with updos and expensive jewelry and sexy dresses, kingdom women clothe themselves with good works, Paul says. Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing." In other words, kingdom women find purpose and significance not by drawing attention to themselves, but by drawing attention to Jesus and serving others. You were created for good works, the Bible says. Good works before the creation began. You were created to beautifully bring glory to God. You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus at Ephesians 2:10. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy, the young pastor, who, by the way, was a pastor in Ephesus. He's saying, here's how it looks for women in the church. He takes all what is true for all Christians, that they are created for good works, and he applies it to women. He seems to be saying to them, don't search for meaning and significance in the typical fashions. Don't search for meaning through the typical cultural ways. Don't use clothes and jewelry and Instagram accounts to judge the value of your life. Don't chase attention through what you wear or what you don't have to wear. Clothe yourself in good works. God made you for that. He designed you for that. You are significant because you were made in His image for a purpose. So put that purpose on. Jesus put it this way: let your light so shine before people that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You were made to clothe yourself in good works and glorify God, not with ostentation or provocation that attracts attention to you. That's where meaning is found, and that's what being a kingdom woman is about. So modesty isn't a legalistic issue about your hemline, it's a heart issue. It doesn't mean that you can't look nice. Modesty is about who you are drawing attention to. Are you directing people's eyes to you or to Jesus? Do they see your expensive handbag and so praise your wonderful taste? Do they notice your feminine power and so praise your progressive ways? Or do they see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven? Being a kingdom woman, it's about directing attention to Jesus. It is about a strength that is found in something else. It is about finding your purpose. It is about clothing yourself with good works. And there's a movement in our culture that, especially over the last 150 years or so, toward equality among men and women, which in many ways has been good. It's been a necessary thing. But my fear is that sometimes it's swung too far in one direction and misunderstood, so that rather than women being able to be free to be women and to use the good things that God has given them and the gifts that God has given them to do the good works that God has designed them to accomplish, instead, what women sometimes seek now seems to be to emulate men so that they gain power by becoming like men. Let me say this: you should embrace the differences between men and women. I had a PE teacher in high school who seemed to have a chip on her shoulder. She had an attitude of whatever a man in my class can do, I can do better. And she was always trying to prove that. The summer after I graduated from, and there were many things that she was better at than men, okay? But the summer after I graduated from high school, I was on a roofing crew, and she decided to take a summer job working on this roofing crew. On this crew, there was one particular job where we weren't able to have the shingles lifted up onto the roof by a truck, and so we had to do it by hand. Now, most of the young guys that were there, we would pick up two bundles of shingles and carry them up. A bundle of shingles is awkward and heavy. They weigh about 50 pounds each. That means we were carrying up about 100 pounds. I had one friend who sometimes, just for kicks and giggles, would pick up four. So he would have 200 pounds. He would go up the ladder without any hands on the ladder and balance his way up. Not recommended on the packaging, but that's what he would do. And this one particular day, my PE teacher was told, look, you don't have to participate in this. You can go do other work. That's fine. But she had something to prove. And so she tried to get two bundles of shingles up on her shoulder and climb up the ladder. And she didn't get hurt, thankfully, but she couldn't make it. She had to come climb back down the ladder, and it was a bit embarrassing for her, and I felt embarrassed for her. The point of the story is not women are weak. The point of the story is that women have strength that is different than the strength of men. There are two authors, a couple, Les and Leslie Parrott, and they write about relationships a lot and about gender issues a lot. And in a book they wrote called Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts, they boil down a lot of research and statistics about men and women and the differences between them. And they say this: men focus on achievement and women on relationships. Now that may seem like a generalization, and it is. And of course, that doesn't mean that women are uninterested in achievement and that men hate relationships. It's just a matter of relative value or focus. Neither focus is right or wrong. In fact, there's strength in that diversity. Maybe you've been to a funeral where the matriarch of a family has died, and one of the common sentiments expressed there was, "She was like the glue that held our family together during every season of life." Ever heard that? That's one of the strengths that women have that often men don't possess in a general sense. And the point that I'm trying to make here isn't women need to have these things and men need to have these things. I just want you to consider for a moment, women, as you're fed cultural lies about what it means to be a woman and about how men and women are not really different, to consider that God created us, male and female. And He created you different than men for a reason. And it wasn't so that you could be weak, but so that you could be strong. The differences are important, and they help to push the kingdom of God forward, don't they? Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives, and we might even broaden this out to women, in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And at first, this may look like it's derogatory of women, but I think if we take a closer look, we'll realize it's not. It doesn't say that husbands, and we might expand that to include men in general, should patronize wives or pretend like they're valuable. It says that we should seek to understand them, really understand. There are differences between men and women, but the answer for men is not condescension or pretending to act like women are valuable or tokenism. The answer is to seek understanding, to listen first, then to honor. And it doesn't mean fake honor, but actually honor, to consider valuable and important. But we should also note that Peter does not pretend as if there are no differences between men and women. He calls women the weaker vessel, and I believe he's referring here to the physical vessel, to the fact that men are generally, on average, stronger physically than women. And I know that it's politically incorrect to say that, but I don't think it does us any good to ignore facts, does it? In fact, I think it helps us if we realize the truth that God has created us differently and that Christians don't have to worry about who the stronger physically is because the economy of the kingdom of God is not only the strong survive, is it? No, in fact, it's opposite of that, isn't it? It says that those who are strongest must serve those who are weaker. And that's Peter's point exactly in this passage. And so what I want to encourage as a church or as a husband or as a wife or as a mother or as a daughter, as a man or as a woman, men, we need to understand, seek understanding and really honor women. And women, don't think that the answer to power and to liberty, to gaining influence, is by becoming like men. Don't seek to become like men to gain influence. Be who God created you to be. Often what we see in our culture is that women want to emulate the sin of men. So what they're doing isn't acting like men. They're acting like the men who are sinners. That's not what we want. We want men who are strong for Christ, but we want women to be able to recognize, I don't have to be like these men in order to be useful and valuable in God's kingdom. And that leads us to the last point that I want to make to you, that you should clothe yourself with gentleness and a quiet spirit. Now, that may sound offensive to you. What? I can't believe he just said that. Who does he think he is? Gentleness and a quiet spirit. But before there's a riot of some kind, let me remind you, these aren't just my thoughts. This is what the scripture teaches us. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be that hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. When gentle and quiet are read, you may think that it means weak and silent, something like women are to be seen and not heard, but that's not what it's saying at all. Let's take gentleness first. Do you know who else was called gentle? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus said that. Same word in English and in Greek. Do you know what the Bible says the Holy Spirit produces in every believer? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is not a derogatory term. Gentleness is the quality of not being abrasive, not being arrogant, and not being harsh. Gentleness puts others first. And that describes a lot of mothers I know. Certainly describes my own. Hi, Mom. She listens to my podcast, to the podcast from church. So thanks, Mom. I love you. Sometimes we think that gentleness is the antithesis of boldness. It's not. That's not the case at all. You can be gentle and bold. And do you know what? I wouldn't trade the gentleness of my mom or my wife for all the bigness of personality in the world. It's far too valuable. It is imperishable beauty, we read in Peter. And a quiet spirit, that's an amazing thing. The idea of quietness is similar to peace. He's not saying don't speak. He's saying a trait, a quality that's inward. It also speaks to something that is well ordered. Peter is telling wives and women in general to have a well-ordered spirit. This isn't the antithesis of courage or of being heard. It's the antithesis of drama. Christian women are the antithesis of the Real Housewives of New York or Beverly Hills or wherever else. The genre of TV that most often gets associated with housewives, drama, and soap opera is the antithesis of a kingdom woman. A kingdom woman doesn't bring dissension, stress, and turmoil. A kingdom woman has a well-ordered, quiet spirit. And do you know what that means? It means that kingdom women participate in God's creative purposes in the world to bring order and peace. A gentle woman with quiet spirit brings order to life and to the people that she's around. She's the opposite of a drama queen. She participates in the work of God, calming storms and ordering chaos. She creates places of health and rest and restoration physically and emotionally and spiritually. Why do you think it's nuns who build all the Catholic hospitals? Really, why do you think it was nuns who built all the Catholic hospitals? Because there's something in women that seeks to restore, and when one is submitted to God and is a kingdom woman, it's not that she doesn't get anything done, it's that she does it differently than men do, and that's terrific, because it's needed, because there is something orderly about it, there is something calming about it, there is something that helps to still the storm about a woman who has a gentle and a quiet spirit. It's not weakness, it's strength. It's a different kind of strength than men possess, but it is no lesser strength than men possess. It's the kind of strength that is not only strong for itself and does not seek to dominate others, but makes a place for others to be strengthened. It's the strength of the kingdom. That's what the kingdom of God does, is it not? It makes a place for others and it serves those who are weak. It stills the storm, it silences the chaos. That's the strength that Peter says wives and women should have when they're in the kingdom. Now, I know that gentle women with a quiet spirit that bring order and peace often go unnoticed and unrecognized, and that's why we have to have a special day like Mother's Day to say thank you. Thank you for what you do that goes unnoticed, that goes unrecognized, because it is so necessary in our lives. It's so necessary in our culture. Like I said, I would not change or trade the gentle, quiet spirit of my mom in my home when I was growing up or of my wife currently for anything, because it brings strength. It brings strength in a different kind of way than I can. So don't think that this is weakness. Don't buy what the world sells. Kingdom women are stronger than cultural women, not because of what they wear, but because of who they are before God. Do you want to be different and really stand out in the world? Give up on your ideas of glorifying yourself and instead choose to glorify God through the gentleness and the quietness of your spirit. It will probably make you stand out a lot more than you think, because everybody else is trying to look the same, it seems, these days. You can express strong femininity in the kingdom of God. That doesn't come from trying to conform to the incredibly confusing image that the world tells you to look like. You're supposed to be powerful. In the world, you're supposed to be powerful, brazen, and bold, as well as sexy, so that you can please the eyes of men and feel good about yourself, and flashy so that others will recognize who you are and how important you are. But that confused picture is not how God created you. You are beautiful and strong, but a kingdom woman demonstrates strength by clothing herself with good works, embracing the differences between men and women, and exhibiting gentleness and quiet of her spirit that helps to order life and calm the storm. Being a mother or a wife and a sister or a sister in Christ has many challenges. And society has not made it easy for you. The culture pulls at you in many directions. Sometimes your husbands and sons and brothers don't make it easy for you. But I want to encourage you to seek your direction from your Creator and from His kingdom and not from our culture. It makes a lot of promises about equality that it's very difficult for our culture to deliver on. Instead, look to God. Look to His word as the guide for what it means to be a strong woman, not to our culture. Now, I want to ask this at the end of our service here. Perhaps you're here and this has been directed at women, but maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus at all. You haven't come into His kingdom. Today, before we close, I just want to make an appeal to you. If you are someone that doesn't have a relationship with God through Jesus, you haven't been brought into His kingdom, you haven't surrendered all that you are to the kingdom of God, you haven't heard the call and come into the kingdom, today is the day for you. you can do that today. It's a simple thing, the Bible says. Important but simple. It just says if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, that means King, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so I just wanted to ask before we close, is there anyone here, you don't have a relationship with God, but you sense the Holy Spirit drawing you to faith today, would you make a bold step and would you just raise your hand so that we can pray with you? Is there anybody like that? You need that relationship with God through Jesus? Want to ask. Don't want you to leave. Maybe your mom brought you and you sense God calling you this morning to salvation. Anyone like that? Then I want to make this final appeal. Maybe you're a wife, a mother, a woman, and you feel that cultural pull, and you want to ask God for strength today to be a woman of the kingdom. Maybe there's something specific that you've thought about as we've been talking this morning, and you want to ask God for your grace and his help to overcome in that area and to be a kingdom woman and not a cultural woman. Or maybe you just desire in your heart that God would strengthen you to be the kind of woman he wants you to be and to put on the good works that he has created you for in Jesus Christ. If you're in that spot, would you stand so that we can pray for you? We want to just bless you and pray for you this morning. If you're a wife, mother, woman, you're saying, I want to be a kingdom woman. I want to walk in the strength of the kingdom of God. I want to clothe myself with good works. I want to be the kind of person that expresses godly femininity and not the kind that culture wants to place on me. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for these women that have stood and for every wife and mother and daughter and sister of Christ in this place. Lord, I ask that you would help the women here today, and especially those that have stood and are asking for your help specifically. I ask that you would give them the grace that they need to serve you as women. I pray that you would help them to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might. I pray that you would give them direction when they face the challenges and hear the lies of our culture, that you would help them to have discernment and to know how to walk as a woman of strength in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would clothe them with good works, make the way plain before them, help them to see and to be dressed every day in the good works that you've created them to do. Make apparent the path that they should go. And Lord, may they have great influence in those works, that they would see that people's lives are being changed. Lord, help them to be clothed with a gentle and a quiet spirit, not one that is weak, but one that is strong, one that brings calm to the storm, one that brings stillness, God, one that orders chaos, and through that gentle, quiet spirit, let others see, here is a woman of the kingdom. Here is what it looks like to be a real woman. Here is what the image of God looks like when it is displayed in a kingdom woman. Lord, I pray that you'd make them strong in that way. I pray for those who have heard the call of our culture and are struggling with it, have responded to it, but are repenting today. God, give them your forgiveness and give them hope of a new direction and a strength to overcome. We thank you for that. We bless our wives, our mothers, and the women of this congregation today. Pray your great blessing on them. May they sense your presence. May they know your love, and may they be strong in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we believe this today. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's thank our wives and moms and our sisters and sisters in Christ today. We appreciate you. We're trying to understand as best we can, and we want to seek to honor you as well. So don't forget on the way out, grab a rose. If you're here for the first time, go back to Guest Central, grab that special gift we've got for you. Otherwise, have a great week. We will see you again next week. Until then, grace and peace.